And we will call this council meeting to order. I want to welcome everybody. Would you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, next on the agenda is roll call. And Dan Deaver called in and said that he could not make it tonight, so I do hear a motion to accept that.
Make the motion.
Mark Snyder first, Eugene second. Any questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, and that motion passes. Thank you. Now, next on the agenda is citizen input. If you're here for the Little League contract and would like to speak, we'll have a time during that. So that's the part you're interested in, for citizen input from the community, you can do that. And also we have citizen input for those that have other things they'd like to address the council with on council business. We allow up to 5 minutes. When you come to the podium, give us your name and address, and raise your hand, I'll acknowledge you. Sean?
Mayor and Council, for the record, my name is Sean Bates. I live at 1156 East Juniper Street here in Othello. I want to address a few things that seem unrelated, but upon further review, they just might be related after all. Firstly, I want to address the newly proposed across-the-board fee increases the Council is bringing forward for use of public parks facilities. Secondly, I want to address the new transportation benefit district. Third, I want to address the State Auditor's recommendations relative to the recent audit. First, the across-the-board fee increases. It strikes me as preposterous to impose these new fees on our local sports team leagues for the following reasons. My grandparents and parents' generations built our city park systems. We, as taxpayers, pay for the maintenance and upkeep of the parks from our property taxes. Adding the proposed fees on top of what we are already paying as taxpayers, in my opinion, is a tax in disguise and designed to draw further revenues into the city coffers. Why is this? I believe that the parks were made for our citizens to enjoy, and that our citizens deserve to enjoy the amenities that we already pay for. Adding these fees just adds to the fixed and variable costs of government, and in my opinion, with the addition of a Parks and Recreation Director, you're just trying to figure out how to pay for a salary. Secondly, the Transportation Benefit District. I believe that it should be abolished immediately for a couple of reasons. First, it's an unfair tax on those of us who live in town so that everyone in the surrounding area can use our streets. And that includes out-of-town residents like our city administrator, city police chief, and city attorney, to name a few. Further, this body has said and been told that a transportation department documents exist that spell out the need for use of transportation dollar funding options to be exhausted at the local level. And I made a public records request, one of many, which you're aware of. And I requested a copy of the document that our city administrator was referencing when he was explaining this to you. And all I got was a copy of an email correspondence between the city attorney and some guy that works at a consulting business out of Wenatchee. Thirdly, if it's new revenues we need for streets, and this is related to, if it's new revenues we need for streets, and that seems to be the case, as we have pointed out and the state auditor's office has confirmed, then you have the option of making a tiny fraction of a percent sales tax increase under the existing optional sales tax of 0.5 cent we already have in Othello Municipal Code Chapter 11, and it would be a burden shared equally by everyone who does trade here in town. By doing this, we can generate way more revenue than the TBD ever could and not have it unequally burden those of us who actually live within city limits. Plus, it goes directly to the streets under the provisions of our Othello Municipal Code Chapter 11.02. Now, you got to be asking yourselves what ties these thoughts together. And my answer simply is that we're being asked to pay multiple times for what we already own and operate as taxpayers and as a city. This just adds to the fixed and variable costs of government and has no benefit to the citizens of our city, just more burdensome governmental fees and red tape. It's also a waste of your time to be on one more committee meeting like you had this evening before you had city council meeting for the TBD. By increasing the tax just a freckle, you could eliminate a layer of bureaucracy and have more time to be at home and eat dinner and not have to run to get here early on a Monday night. So unless there's no objection at this time, then I ask that the entire text of my comments be entered into the record of the minutes of the City Council meeting under the provisions of Washington State's Sunshine Laws and the provisions of Robert's Rules of Order. And if there's no objection, I anticipate these words would be in the permanent record for of the minutes for posterity. Thank you.
They're being taped. Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Charles or Mr. Crozier?
I proffered to the City Council and to the Mayor a letter, and unfortunately I didn't have Amon Sheldon's last letter to me, but you also received it in your packet this week, or at least I've received it in the last 2 weeks, so I assume that it's in your packet. Oh, I should say I'm Michael Crozier and I live at 625 11th Avenue North in Othello, Washington. The letter had to do with the allegation that I had refused a settlement for the destruction of that driveway, and that's not the case at all. If you look at the January 8, 2010 letter and the January 22, 2010 letter, it shows clearly that what we have asked is for a quantifiable description of why that offer was made. And it puts the onus clearly on the city and clearly on Amon to communicate that back to me. Now, nothing's been communicated, so this whole business has all been stalled and we haven't been able to get it settled. But you, however, have gone out and fixed the sinkhole in the street and other parts of the public works. Now, the part of my driveway that's really destroyed is clearly within the city right of way. And that's why you have a water line that runs underneath it. And you fix these kinds of things all over town and other places. So why is it stalled? And why am I having to go back through your insurance company? We are in the process of negotiating through the U.S. Department of Justice negotiators a settlement directly with the city over this whole ideology business. Well, I haven't received an acceptance test procedure. I haven't received a performance spec. I haven't received any of those things. So I cannot even do what you asked me to do, Mr. Mayor, and that was to...
You need to clarify yourself. You're jumping all over the board. Where are we at right now?
Well, right now...
So we understand where you're at, because I'm not sure where you're
right.
at.
Right. Well,
you're moving around the driveway to
what we're talking about, okay, what we're talking about here is we're directly negotiating. Why do we have to go through your insurance company? We're directly negotiating with you for the damages that we received to our civil rights in the civil rights issue with the Department of Justice with your attorney. Why are we having to go through your insurance for the damages that we've received from the past contractors of the negligence of the city in constructing this properly? Now, I'm trying to say all this extemporaneously, and my thoughts are pretty well consolidated in the letter that I wrote you here. And so I would like to have an answer to all of my questions and not just a few of them. But mainly I would like to have an answer to the question is, why did you only offer less than a third of what the construction costs are to replace all of the damage? Because in other cases, the city has paid 100% for all of the damages. Thank you.
So citizens know we don't answer these because we need to look at them. And then they receive a letter in the mail from the city. That's, we're writing down the questions so we can address them with those that have concerns. So anybody else? Okay. And I will close the public input time. Do I hear a motion for the approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Charles first.
Second.
Second. Any questions or discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, the same? Okay, then that passes. We have a motion on the consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Favor accepted, okay. A second?
Second.
Mark Snyder second, and Johnson first. Any questions or discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, then we'll go down to current business. 4.1, public hearing on vacation of city right-of-way. Please bear with us as we progress through the legal and technical aspect of the public hearing. This public hearing is now open at 7:17 p.m. It's being held to receive staff report and receive public comments on the request to vacate city right-of-way. This public hearing is required by state law. I will now ask the staff and requester to present their staff report. Darrell?
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. Darrell Piercy, city planner. We've received a request, a written request from Rolando Garza, who owns a business in Othello. And he has a piece of property in which it is bisected by a city right-of-way, which is actually an alleyway 20-foot wide in this location. There's some history behind this property in that many years ago, he was allowed to build a building on his property, and in the course of that construction, he crossed over the right-of-way. Looking for a pointer. But you can see on this drawing, this location, here's the city right-of-way, and here is the building that was constructed as part of his business, and it crosses over the right-of-way and is actually placed on the right-of-way at that location. Once that was recognized that the building had been placed on city property, there was an agreement that was entered into the city and the property owner, Mr. Garza, that actually provided for a yearly payment for the use of that right-of-way, and the building was allowed to remain. Now, that agreement expired in 2009 and has not at this time been renewed. I think the intent at that time was for Mr. Garza to come forward to the city council and seek the use of that property in one manner or another, either through vacation or an extension or a renewal of his agreement with the city. He's chosen to move forward with the request for vacation, so this issue has been reviewed by city staff, including Public Works, and at this time we see no immediate need or long-term need for the use of that particular right-of-way, as it is directly bisecting a current business and operation that resides there. So we're bringing this before you for consideration to consider the request of the vacation. A couple things that you should be aware of as we move forward into this process. One is that because of the agreement expiring, the city has not received any revenue for the use of this land since 2009. There's also provisions contained within state law that allows the city, if you so desire, you're not required to, but you may collect a fee for the use of that property or the vacation of that property when you transfer that ownership to the property owner, in this case, the single property owner. There's a value to that property that can be identified and established, and if the city chooses to do so, you may collect that value for the transfer of that ownership from the city to the property owner. But again, under state law, you're not required to do that. You can vacate the property, and it can revert to the adjacent property owner, in this case, a single individual, and that can be the extent of it. But you also can charge for that if you wish. So that's the issue before you for consideration this evening, is the vacation of that alleyway, and that's the history behind why the request is being brought before you this evening. I'd be happy to respond to any questions that you might have.
Okay, thank you, Darrell. I will now ask for public testimony, questions or objections to be heard from citizens. Please raise your hand so I may recognize you. After I acknowledge you, please come to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, and allow up to 5 minutes for each citizen. Okay, I'll close the citizen input time for the public. I will now, let me see, since there's no comments. comments. I will close time for public testimony. How about council members? Do we have any questions?
Do you happen to know when that property was originally platted?
I don't have the platting date. I can say that it's been platted for quite some time.
What have we done in the past? I know we've abandoned some others. Have we charged a fee?
I think historically the city has not. I could find no instance where a property in Othello has been vacated where a fee has been collected. And what typically happens is you have adjacent property owners, a number of individual lot holders. For instance, if each of those lots here were owned individually by separate parties, it would be a very small amount that would go to each of the parties, and it would be split down the middle to each side. In this case, under single ownership, the entire vacation will go to that one property owner.
So are we having to pay to have some legal work done to convert the property?
There will be some cost involved because you will incur staff time as well as attorney time in reviewing of the deed documents in order to transfer that ownership. So there is some cost incurred by the city, although it's minimal, that there's still a cost.
Also on that, that's actually a right-of-way too, possibility of having water lines, sewer lines, stuff like that in that. We've got provisions for that if we do vacate that alley.
One of the things we would recommend is that if you chose to move forward with the vacation, that you would reserve easements across the property for any public utilities that might either be in place or be necessary in the future. So there would continue to be the ability to run sewer, water, other utilities through the site. The difficulty, of course, here is that we have this building that's been constructed right in the middle of that, which would make potentially the placement of utilities in this particular location difficult at best. But nevertheless, I think we would want to maintain any easements or have the ability to provide easements, not knowing what the need might arise in the future.
Is that both alleys, one going east and west and one north and south, or is it just going east and west where the building is at?
Well, the alley that I believe that we're speaking to is the one that goes east and west that is interfering with the building itself.
Any other questions from council? Then I will now close the public hearing at 7:25 p.m. I don't believe we had a motion on this one, did we?
What we would be looking for is if you're prepared to offer some direction to staff following this hearing, we would look for that direction and then bring back to you enabling documents that would implement your direction.
Cost of the transfer of the deed or whatever you call it, you know, since it's benefiting them.
So the incidental cost associated with the transfer of ownership.
I don't know how the council feels about it. That's up to them.
I agree on
that. Okay.
We put in the right-of-ways, the easement statement, and it also in case we need to put water or sewer or anything.
If I could interject briefly, the statute on vacating street rights of way does not provide the tool to recover costs that you incur. It provides a tool for you to recover the fair market value of the property that's being vacated. So if you wish to recover anything from the property owner, it would be in the form of the fair market value of the property that he's receiving from the vacation.
So that brings up another question in my mind. If we don't recover it, would you classify it as gifting?
No, this is one area where the statute is clear. The city has no obligation as far as a mandate to recover. But as Daryl said, frequently when cities do require that the property owner pay fair market value, it's more often done in a situation where there is one property owner who is receiving the full benefit of the vacated right-of-way as opposed to 12 different property owners each receiving half of the street right-of-way.
Other
properties that we had come in front of us that we vacated alleys and did not receive any compensation for.
We have not.
Okay. How we want to stay? Okay. But we want to retain easements right-of-ways. Need to know anything else, Darrell?
No, that provides us, I think, adequate direction to move forward, other than the underlying question is there is consensus to move forward with the vacation.
Yeah?
Yes.
Looks like it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. Okay. 4.2, public hearing on 12-month marijuana garden moratorium. That is Catherine. Okay, please bear with us as we progress through the legal and technical aspects of the public hearing. This public hearing is now open at 7:27 p.m. and is being held to receive staff report and receive public comments on the 12-month marijuana garden moratorium. This public hearing is required by state law. I will now ask the city attorney to present a staff report.
I don't have anything new to report since the council adopted the ordinance that requires this public hearing be held. But for the public's benefit, the council earlier approved a 12-month moratorium on the collective medical marijuana gardens in light of the City of Kent case, which is proceeding forward in litigation, as well as the state's efforts in implementing Initiative 502. So the city's previous six-month moratorium is now being extended by the council to a 12-month moratorium in the hopes that we will have some more definitive answers from both the state and federal levels on the entire marijuana issue, both recreational and medicinal, as well as having the opportunity to have additional time to put together and implement the attached work plan to your ordinance.
Now I will now ask for public testimony, questions or objections to be heard from citizens. Please raise your hand so I may recognize you. After I acknowledge you, please come to the microphone and state your name and address for the record, and I'll allow up to 5 minutes for each citizen. Okay, then I will close. Since there's no public comments, I will close the public testimony time. Does any of the council members have comments or questions at this time? I will now close the public hearing at 7:29 p.m. Okay, let me get to the motion part on this. Hang on a second. So do I hear a motion to extend the existing moratorium on medical marijuana gardens as identified in the ordinance?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, first. Charles second. Any further questions or discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same? Okay, then that passes. Thank you. Okay. 4.3, amendment to Ashwood Notch Development Agreement. Darrell?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Again, Darrell Piercy, City Planner. We have received a request that is before you for consideration for a minor amendment to the Ashwood Notch major plat and development agreement that the city has in conjunction with Olson Homes. You may recall this has been before you on a number of occasions in the past, resulting in the transfer of ownership and some modification to the development agreement and the plat configuration as well as the phasing plan. In this request to you, the applicant or the owner is proposing to move forward with phase two of Ashwood Notch. And as part of that, they are seeking a realignment of the lot configuration within phase two that would allow for one additional lot to be created that was not identified as part of the original phase two for the overall plat. Looking to, let's see if we can get the next drawing up. It probably help fix the. This is the one I would like just to bring to your attention. The modification is actually taking place in this row of lots, which is the southern row, abutting directly to the south is the pre- developed by Olson Homes. And while it doesn't show well on this, I believe it does in the drawings within your packet, the reconfiguration of the lot and the lot widths is more in keeping with the lot configuration and development pattern that's located directly to the south in the previously fully developed plat that was also developed by Olson Homes. What has been proposed is a narrowing of the lots slightly that would allow for this additional lot to be created. In reviewing this, we've had this reviewed both by the city engineer, by the Department of Public Works, as well as the planning staff, and we are all in agreement that this does not significantly alter the overall requirements or layouts or traffic impacts of this proposal, and therefore we consider it a minor adjustment to the overall plat configuration and are recommending that the council approves this new reconfiguration so that we and the developer can move forward with the phase two of this plat. Be happy to respond to any questions. We also have a representative here of the applicant should you have any questions regarding the specific analysis or reasons why they move forward with this request.
Questions from council?
Yeah. I got a comment as well. I looked at this a little bit with this plat, and all I see that they've done to it, they have some 84-foot lots in it. They shrunk them down to the same size as their other lots, basically. So they picked up that extra square footage that way, getting that extra lot in it, which makes sense. They haven't really done anything as far as changing the major project or doing anything that way. And it just makes sense that they added that extra. The way they're building those homes, there's no reason they needed those bigger lots because everything was all fits to the same lots they got. So I don't see where there's any problem.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the request submitted by Columbia Northeast Engineering on behalf of Olson Homes to modify the Ashwood Notch plat as submitted? Okay, first. Okay, Charles seconds. Any further questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed the same? Okay, then that passes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Darrell. Okay. Little League contract. Molly?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Following directive from City Council and the staff and the Parks and Recreation Committee, we're able to meet with representatives from the Othello Youth Baseball League regarding the imposition of fees for the use of the Lions Park softball complex for the 2013 Youth Baseball League season. We were able to come to the following contract terms, which is a $1,000 exclusive season field use fee, a $350 fee to operate the concession stand during the season, as well as a one-year contract term. However, the Youth Baseball League received a copy of this contract on Friday, March 22nd. So they called and let us know that they would like some clarification regarding the verbiage on the contract and would like or requested a little bit more time to be able to work out those contract details. So rather than asking council to approve this contract, we are actually asking council to extend the contract meetings between the city and the Youth Baseball League, and we will come back and present those agreed to terms and the contract on March 11th.
So do I hear a motion to extend the contract agreement terms for some meetings, I assume? What's going on? Charles first?
Second.
You have a second? Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same? Okay, that passes. Thank you, Molly. Was there any citizens that would like to address this, since I didn't mention we'd open up to the public? I'll give you 2 minutes, if you'd like to. Come on up to the mic.
Chastity Krebs, 1645 Fern Street. I am the president for Othello Youth Baseball Softball Association. And I'd like to go on record as saying these meeting times that have been arranged have not been convenient for myself or the vice president. We both work at the school district. We have requested both times to please meet after 3:15. That request has been denied. So I'd like to go on record as requesting any further meetings that take place after 3:15 when the both of us can attend those meetings. And I'd like to second what Sean has said. I've had numerous calls about, look at your property tax statement. Right there it says Parks and Recreation. I get charged $52 on my property tax statement. I'm sure each and every one of you get charged the same or something close to it. Why are you paying again for the same things, is what I'm asked. I can understand where it's coming from. I can understand the extra maintenance to come down and chalk the fields. That's not something you would normally do, or water the fields or put up fences. But you know what? I never asked for that. None of our board never asked for that. It was volunteered and given to us, and then after that, well, now we're going to charge you for it. We never asked, please come do this for this. We had volunteers that did that for us. So again, you know, where did, how did we get where we are at? And you know, the public perception is you're reaching into the pockets of the kids, you're nickel and diming them, and you're being greedy. That's the public perception out there. Most organizations have come in and said, you know what, we're just not going to do it if this is what's going to happen. We've been, you know, trying to work with you.
Hold on, Chastity. That was 2 minutes. Does council want her to continue?
Yeah.
Yes?
Okay.
You have to, what, another minute? What do you want, council?
Probably 2 minutes.
2 minutes? Okay. Go
ahead. I don't want to see this go that direction. You know, I want to work with the city and come up with something that's feasible. The language in the contract, you know, I was given it today and was told it needed to be signed today before this meeting. And as I read through it, honestly, I can't sign it in good faith and say that these are the things that we can abide by. Because in there is language about charging us if a sprinkler gets broken or if there's any kind of repair that needs to be made. And how do we know that it's our kids out there on the field causing this damage? Most likely it's not, because you have coaches and parents out there watching them. It's the unsupervised youth out there doing that after hours that are destroying these things. And I don't think that our youth organization should be held responsible for that. And then I start to look at, as far as the fees go, I'm told the men's softball league has already decided to go to Moses Lake. They're not going to be paying those fees to use the softball fields at night. They used to have 10 tournaments, now they have 2 tournaments. You're decreasing the use of what's happening here in Othello. These activities bring money in. We're holding the youth softball for the girls league this year. It's 9 through 12 years old. It's the state of Washington. Everybody in the state of Washington that plays Cal Ripken softball is supposed to come here to Othello to spend money, to sleep in our motels for a full week. That's where the revenue is generated. And I would urge the city council to tell their park and rec board that was supposed to go to the table to find ways to generate money to come into Othello from the outside, not reaching to the inside. We're already paying for it through our property taxes. From the inside. Charge these people from the outside, please.
Thank you, Chastity. Who's on the park and rec board? I don't know who it is. She requested time change. Is that possible?
Absolutely.
Not for me, Tuesday through Thursday.
Thursday.
Mark, are you able to do whatever?
Yeah.
Okay. Friday good for everybody on the park board?
Do whatever needs to be done.
Friday work? We're trying to put something together here. Oh, okay. So Friday will work then? Okay, at what time? 4 o'clock?
Yeah.
4 o'clock? Do you do that on the board? 4 o'clock?
Yep.
Okay. I guess you got a meeting. Okay. Move that forward, so I'm not doing that. Let me get off of this. Financial investment report, Spencer.
Thank you very much, Council and Mayor. As you know, the Othello Municipal Code requires that we present the monthly investment report to you. And I'm really hoping that it just appears here. It was here earlier today.
It shows our interest rate.
Well, in the packets that you've received, it shows the status of the current investments. We have the two investments that we hold, one with the LGIP and one with the Bank of America.
We allowed some citizens to speak, but
it wasn't a public meeting.
It wasn't a public. I just allowed them to speak as well if they wanted to put a
public here, right?
No.
Yeah, I don't know. It was hearing. Did the attorney, Catherine, what is it?
It was not a public hearing.
Yeah,
I didn't think so.
Public.
Yeah, it was just allowing public comment on an agenda item.
Right. Okay, go ahead, Spencer.
Well, you'll see in your board packets, I've presented the monthly cash and investment, the current balances as of January 31 for 2012. If you have any questions about those balances, I'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
One moment, please. Try this way.
Council members can see the report on the screens, Mayor. If there's no question.
Okay, yeah. Okay, kind of wait. The only question we have is, how do you make more interest off our money?
Well, that's a tricky thing. We're kind of caught between, legally we need to have our funds kept so safe, and with that security comes low interest rates.
I see Bank of America's finally hit 1.5%.
If scroll all the way down, that increase there—that's not an interest, a monthly interest. That's a monthly increase in balance. So that's a cross between the interest rate that we earn and the increase on the balance, or the increase in the value of the investment.
Questions from council? Okay. Thank you, Spencer. Okay, next is unfinished business. Do we have any unfinished business?
I'd like to make a comment in regards to what Chastity said about the men's league. The men's league is not being run anymore because the individual that used to run it chose to step down and raise his kids, which is myself. And nobody is willing to step up and run it. So it was a community-supported event. I did it for free. I've done it as long as it was in existence. And I chose to step down. I offered it to every single individual that had a team, and not one would put forth the effort to do it. So as far as that goes, that's where that went. The other thing I would like to say is, I think it's pretty childish that our community believes that all these increases come from the fact that we have hired an individual in our staff and we have to support her employment. That is not the case. The reality is that change comes in many different ways. And whether it's good or bad, it's going to continue to change. whether we like it or not. So, you know, I just, it bugs me that we beat the same nail over and over and over, you know, and it's got to stop eventually. It really does.
Now, this isn't new. I mean, you look at the federal government, you get charged now to go in the parks. You look at the state deal, you have to buy the little sticker you put in, you hang on your mirror so they can see it, you know what I mean? Plus you pay to stay at the campground. You go to the school district. They charge us as a city when we use the school district. Rooms or whatever it is. We had the night out. I don't remember what the fee was, $80 or something. We were charged to use it that one night, the all-city night out. And, you know, we as a city have tried not to go this direction. But the reality is, I've said this before, natural gas tax has dropped $147,000 this last year. We're expecting another drop this year. You know, we have a bill that came in for $137,000 that we're paying back right now. There are some other tax things that dropped on us also. Unfortunately, you know, as to be good stewards of the city, we have to look at things, and this isn't going to generate a whole lot of money for the city. It just helps a little bit is all it does. And
it's a Band-Aid. That's all it is.
It just helps a little bit. You know, in exchange, reserve the fields for you. Nobody can get on them. You know, I guess if you don't want the help with lines and things like that, maybe that's something you can talk when you come Friday to reduce the expense. Maybe they're willing to talk about that. We'll have nobody there over the weekend to help you. You do your thing, I guess, maybe, I don't know. That's up to the committee. I'm not saying what they'll decide and bring back to council, but, you know, that's something you could talk about. But other than that, this isn't anything new. As far as everybody else, it's just new here with the city government. So it's been going on in our city for quite a while. It's just that now our city government needs to look at it, and that's what's going on. So I know none of us like it. Any other comments while we're talking about that on the council? Any other unfinished business? New business. Okay, we're going to go into executive session right now. Council will now adjourn into executive session pursuant RCW 42.30.110, parentheses 1 and parentheses B, to consider the selection of a site or acquisition of real estate property by lease or purchase. The executive session is expected to last 20 minutes. No action will be taken during the executive session. And we're going to executive session at 10 to 8. Thank you.